everybody. So glad you're joining us. Let's worship our God together as we sing. Here we go.
Unspeakable joy.
There's one line in there we sang. It said, I'll keep my trust in you. And I want to be the first to admit that's been kind of hard this season. And I wonder if there's a reminder today, even as we're singing this song, there's something gently tugging your heart and mine, saying, will you believe? And maybe we forgot. Or maybe this is the first time we're feeling that kind of nudge. I want to invite you to say that our God is a trustworthy God, even when it doesn't feel like it. And my prayer and our prayer today is, Lord, help me believe. Help me believe today. I want to keep my trust in you. I think we got to sing that again. Say it like this. Oh, Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I believe in you, and I will, Lord, and I'll keep my trust.
I get to do announcements tonight, which is awesome. The first one I'm really jazzed about. We have our first ever women's conference coming up. Can I hear it from the ladies in the house? Mm-hmm. We have our very own Kathy Christopher, who's also here tonight. She will be leading our time and our guest speaker. So March 11th and 12th, it's going to be in this building. You can sign up online. You can join us in person. It's going to be awesome. So ladies, you're all personally invited from me. We have another awesome thing coming up, Beyond These Walls, Missional Living. This is a chance for you to lean into the kingdom value of Christian Assembly and learn what it means to be on mission in our city. Our pastor, Scott Quay, who leads Kingdom, is going to be doing a training on that. So I want to encourage you to lean into that and get involved with that. That's coming up. You can register for that online. And last but not least for tonight, we have a parent equipping event on teenage mental health coming up. And so if that is you, if you're a parent sitting here and thinking, man, there is a lot going on in my teenage child's life, basically anxiety and depression have doubled in the past 2 years. And so we're going to do a training event on that. It's going to be on February 26th. This is just a space for you to get equipped as a parent, to be encouraged, and to be in a group of other people that are learning how to go through this so we can love our teenagers well. So if that's you, you can register for that online for the special event. So now is the time of our service where we have the opportunity to give back to a God who has been so generous to us. And so if you are visiting, please feel no obligation to give. You can give on the Christian Assembly app or online by clicking the Give tab. And you can also, now we pass buckets. So I just want to read you before we pray a line from Leviticus 27:30. This is what it said. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So let's pray and invite God into this time of offering. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. You're a big God who sees us and knows us intimately, Father. And so we thank you for all that you've given us. And Father, we just lay before your feet, we lay the upcoming women's conference, God, that women's lives would be touched and transformed by Jesus Christ. We thank you for this upcoming missional training event, God. Would you equip us to be your disciples in this city, Father? And I just pray for all the parents and teenagers, Lord, that are going through a season of depression and anxiety. Father, would you speak into that and heal that in Jesus' name? And Lord, we thank you that we get to celebrate baptisms this weekend, Father. We thank you for your goodness and the forgiveness of sins. And so we praise you, oh holy God, today in this place. We thank you for who you are. And everyone said, in Jesus' name.
Great to have you here with us, whether you're online, whether you're here in person. It's just a joy that you're with us. I want to add my endorsement of the teenage parent equipping event on teenage mental health. We're actually going to have an expert with us named Dr. Dan Suzuki, who's been part of our church, did his psychiatric residency at UCLA, graduated from Stanford, graduated from Northwestern Medical University, assistant professor of clinical psychology at USC Keck School for Medicine, 33 years practicing psychiatric care, is a committed believer, was voted a top doc in Pasadena by his peers. I mean, should the list go on? And so we're going to be interviewing him to help us understand how to best serve our students. And really, this was born out of conversations with those of you that are parents, and my prayers with you, and our youth pastor's prayers with you. And so we're gathering. I want to encourage you to make time for that. It's a one-time event. It's free. I think it'll be well worth your time if you have a student. Well, we are on week 2 in our series on experiencing God, and the author of the book Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby, tells this true story. The story happened in California, and this inner city church had suffered years of decline as the neighborhood transitioned and some of the church members moved out to the suburbs. So with only a small little remnant left, they decided that they would disband the church. As a final activity, they decided that they would do a study around this book, Experiencing God, that we've built this sermon series off of. In one of the chapters, they read about how God is always at work around you. That's what Jesus says. The Father's always at work around you. And they kind of chuckled to each other since nothing unusual had happened in their church in many years. Nevertheless, they decided to put the principles of Scripture at play, so they decided to watch and pray during the week to see where God might be working. That week, an apartment manager located nearby the church property approached some of the church members and asked if the congregation could do anything to help serve the children in the apartment that block that was nearby. Most of them were latchkey kids, and they had nothing to do after school. The apartment manager actually even offered that they could use the apartment building's common room for free if the church would just provide some activities. So the church decided that they would offer some activities after school for these children as kind of a program in the final months of their existence of as a church. And as this act of service began to unfold to these children, it brought them in contact with several unwed mothers in the neighborhood, and they began to just form up relationships that naturally would form up whenever you're serving some of these kids. And through those relationships, and then the relationships with some of the extended families of the children, the church members began to meet some drug leaders and drug-addicted members of the community and gang members of the community. And before long, this little group had started ministering to try to help them. They started a recovery group to try to help people get off their addiction to drugs. They started a way to try to help people that were involved in gangs, that wanted to exit gangs, peacefully exit the gangs. And at the close of what they planned to be a 13-week study, instead of disbanding, the church actually now was beginning to be revitalized, and they decided to stay rooted, welcome in these new people that had come to Christ that helped revitalize the church as they just kept serving, as they watched where God was at work. Now, rather than being discouraged, the people began to realize that God had been at work all around them and in the neighborhood all along. And they were being invited into the center of that activity. You know, it's interesting. We sometimes can assume that God is not doing anything significant around us. Oh, maybe he is somewhere else, or maybe he is in someone else's life, or some other part of the world, or some other time in history, but not with us, not with me, not with this time and in this place. After God revealed to them what he was doing, they began to discover that, realize that they were actually missing out. Let me ask you, whether you're online or whether you're here with us in person, how certain are you that God is at work around you? Let's consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, I thank you how you're at work. I believe that from your word. I see it. Give us eyes to see it more. Lord, I thank you for the 144 households that have chosen to do the money back tithe challenge. This is the first week of that. I pray, God, you'd give them courage and boldness. Lord, as we come even to this week, there's a big event going on this coming weekend called the Super Bowl. And I know from my friends who work in anti-human trafficking and law enforcement that often that attracts a lot of challenges. So I want to pray, God, for this upcoming event that you would protect law enforcement and help law enforcement thwart any human trafficking that would be centered around the Super Bowl experience. Lord, I pray for those who are getting baptized this weekend. 10 different people, amazing stories of you at work. Give us eyes to see it. And I pray now, would you speak to us from your word? Your word is a guide to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. Speak to us through it, we pray. Whether we're spiritually convinced or unconvinced, I ask that you would lead us to complete commitment to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on the way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, flip it open to this little center section. If you're online, the notes will pop up for you as well. You can also get them on our website as well. In John chapter 5, we pick up a story. To give you some context, there were crowds of sick people, we're told in John chapter 5. People who were blind, people who were lame, people who were paralyzed. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. And Jesus ends up healing him. You can read about that in the first part of John chapter 5. But all of this happened on the Sabbath. And we pick up the story there in John 5 verse 16. It says this: so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, but he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will be truly astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants." Now, first thing we see in this passage that helps us dig in deeper to experiencing God is this, is that right now, God is always at work around you. In Genesis, we have the story of God creating the world. But God did not create the world and then abandon it to function on its own. Even when you do not recognize it, even when you maybe don't see God at work, God is always working. Do you believe that? Because you must believe that core principle if you want to experience God. In fact, in Hebrews 11:6, it says this: "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe first that he exists, and second, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Now, there are very few actions that we could say or you could describe accurately with the word always. Now, if you're like me, you probably think about or use this word in a way that is more emotional than it is actual. Here's what I mean. So I'm in a hurry the other day, and I can't find my keys, and I feel frustrated, and I say to myself out loud, this always happens to me. Right? You ever had that experience? But here's a fact check, right? An objective observer would say, well, actually, it doesn't always happen to you, Tom. It sometimes happens to you. Other times when you're in a hurry, your keys are right where you thought you left them. So it doesn't always happen. So when I speak in that way to myself, I'm really speaking emotionally, not factually, right? But when Jesus says that the Father is always working, he doesn't mean that he's sometimes working. In fact, the Greek, for that word always, it means filling a cup up to a brim and overflowing. So he's working so much that it literally is overflowing. Another understanding of the Greek word for always there, there's a couple different meanings of it. It means that he's constantly at work, even up to this very present moment. That's what it means when he says he's always working. It means that he's fact-checked, objectively, always working. Now, if you want to move from knowing about God intellectually, hearing about God, learning about God, to also experiencing God, having fresh stories of God at work in your life, then you must wrestle with how much do you really believe Jesus' words when he says, my Father is always working, and so am I. Let me ask you, have you ever thought these thoughts? These are thoughts that I've thought. Confessions of a pastor. Look, I believe God was at work. I mean, especially in the days of the Bible. I mean, those were the days when God was at the top of his game. But I don't know so much now. Yeah, I believe God was at work. Or maybe you've had this thought. Well, I know God is working today in Africa. I know that. Julie's come and visited us. I'm aware. I know that God's working in Asia. I'm aware of that. I know that God's working in Tijuana, La Roca Ministries. I know. We have people there. I know that God's working somewhere else. I don't know so much about Los Angeles. Have you seen Los Angeles today? Or maybe this. I know that God is working in Los Angeles around other people, in other schools, in other neighborhoods, in other workplaces, in other families, in other churches. But not this church, not my church, not my family, not my neighborhood, not my business, not my clients, not my teammates, not my classmates. No, I know he's at work somewhere else, but not within my relational radius. He wouldn't want to use someone like me. Which brings me to the second thing we need to understand, which is this, is that God will work in you before he works through you. This weekend, we have 10 people who are being baptized, and they all have very different stories. But for anybody to come to a place where they profess publicly their faith, it means that God the Father took them from the world and gave them to Jesus. That's what it means, biblically, theologically, regardless of their story of how they got there. It's a miracle. It's God at work. In future weeks, we're going to talk about how you can identify exactly how God is uniquely inviting you to participate in his work that he's always doing around you. But to do that, fundamentally, you must be willing to become a servant. Now, the common understanding of a servant is that someone would approach a master and say, Master, what do you want me to do? And then the master tells the servant that, and then the servant goes off and does that. And there's some of that in the scriptures, but a fuller, deeper, wider biblical understanding of a servant of God is this. It's actually a picture that God gives us, a metaphor of a potter and some clay. God described the relationship with his people this way in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. It says this, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working on the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Now, to be shaped into the intended purpose by the potter, clay has to be pliable. When you offer your life to God as a servant, as a follower of Jesus, he will always work in you before he works through you. In fact, if you even want to become a follower of Jesus, that's already a sign that God is at work in you. That people will come and they'll say, like, "Well, I don't know if what God's doing, but I want to follow Jesus." Well, I'll tell you what God's doing. God's at work in you, because you wouldn't have come to that conclusion on your own, because the scriptures tell us that no, none of us are righteous and none of us seek after God. And so if you're saying, "Hey, I want to be a follower of Jesus," whether you had a burning bush or no burning bush, you just experienced and encountered God. God's always at work in you before he works through you. And as you obey him, God is the one who then completes the work. Jesus underscores this same truth using a different metaphor other than potter and clay. In John 15, verse 5, he uses the image of a vine and branches. This is what he says. He says, "Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When God works through the life of a servant, his servant, that person can do anything that God chooses to do through his or her life. The potential is unlimited because nothing is impossible for God. But servanthood requires trusting obedience. See, servants, what their role is, biblically, is to pray, to stay connected to the Father, to watch and obey what they're told to do, but also remembering along the way who is accomplishing this work. It's God. Sometimes people say to me, "Well, but Tom, listen, I'm just an ordinary person with an ordinary life. I have a very ordinary job, and I live in a very ordinary apartment, and I have very ordinary neighbors." Yeah, me too. But guess what? God loves ordinary people and uses ordinary people every day. If you're willing, God will do his work in you. And in time, if you're willing, he'll do his work through you. And each time that happens, you'll become a little bit more amazed at God, how he works, how he uses ordinary people like you and like me, like us, to be part of his extraordinary work that he's doing always around us, even here, even now, even in our city, even in our schools, even in our workplaces, even in our families, even in our neighborhoods, even with our friends, even in this, our little humble church. Brings us to the third thing that we need to understand about experiencing God, which is this: that we can miss God at work if we're not humble, prayerful, and watchful. One of the great tragedies amongst God's people is that even though so many of us long to experience him, some don't recognize or know how to recognize God at work around them. And if that's you, you're in luck, because that's the whole point of this entire series. So if you're thinking, "That's me, like, I long for that, I don't know how to recognize it," well, that's the whole reason we're doing this. So if you stay humble, prayerful, and watchful, and lean into this series every week, not just hear the messages, but employ them in your life, then you will experience God at work. Now, you might be thinking, "Well, how can you promise that? You don't really know." Well, yes, actually, I do really know. How do I know? Because Jesus promises. The Father's always at work. We can think, "Well, if God was really at work, I'd see a burning bush. Something big, something extraordinary." Not necessarily. It's possible that God is at work and you miss it. For example, one point in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, Jacob says this in Genesis 28, verse 16. He says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Plus, the story we just read or we referenced from John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man who had been sick for 38 years, and some of the people are arguing with him on whether or not he's technically allowed to do that. Something big happened, and they actually saw it. They didn't dispute that the healing happened. They saw the healing, and yet they missed it. They missed God at work. In fact, it's interesting. I remember when I was younger, I used to think, well, you know, if I lived during Jesus' time and he was walking around healing people everywhere, like, of course I would believe. But what's interesting is when you study the miracles of Jesus, not all the people who witnessed them believed. Like, some weren't even disputing the miracle. They're like, yeah, that guy got healed, but I think it's because Jesus is demonic. Or, yeah, that guy got healed, but I don't know if he's allowed to do that on a Sabbath. Yeah, that guy got healed, but we can think, well, if I would just see this miraculous way of God at work, then my faith, well, not necessarily, because there are a lot of people who saw and they didn't. So then, how do we not miss God at work around us? Well, let's come back to Jesus' words. In John 5, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. Unless God opens your spiritual eyes to recognize what he is doing around you, you will remain blind to his presence and his work around you. But notice here, the seeing of the Son in verse 19 has its counterpart in the showing by the Father in verse 20. So when I look for God at work, I'm not so much trusting my ability to see God at work. I'm trusting the love of the Father to want to show me as I stay prayerful, humble, and watchful. Think about Jesus' words. They're pretty scandalous, I think. I only do what I see the Father doing. How true of that is you? How true is that of us? Do you and I only do what we see the Father doing? You think about all the activity that you do in your life. Is there any of it that you do where you're like, I don't know if this is what the Father's doing, but I just got to go do something? Because there's parts of my life that are like that. But we can pray, Father, show me what you're doing around me. Let me give you a few examples of prayerfully watching God at work in the last month of my life. And any of these stories are just literally God at work, so they're not really stories about me as much as me just asking God to show me. My son Caleb and I, he's a senior in high school. We had to go to Baylor University a couple weeks ago. And it's one of the universities he's considering and he's applied to. As part of that, we do this meet and greet on a Friday night with faculty and current students. And there's probably like 800 people at this soiree, right, you know? And before I go with him, we're in the hotel room, and I just pray, God, guide our steps, give us eyes to see why you have us here. Now, of course, I knew that part of the reason we were there was part of this application process to discern if Baylor's the right university for Caleb. But I asked, I said, Father, give us eyes to see what you're doing right now, because I know that you love us. That's a prayer born right out of Jesus' words. So we get there, we're mingling. Caleb strikes up a conversation with an economics professor, and I'm the third person in the conversation, right? So it's the three of us there talking. The professor shares about his research and how it's in the field of economics, and he's trying to make the point that economics has a broad range of applications. So he shares that his specific research as a PhD in economics is about healthcare and specifically the data related to the issues of sustainability of healthcare in the U.S. economically. And so he and Caleb are talking back and forth some about that, and I'm just eating my brownie and drinking my Diet Coke, you know, as they're talking. But then there's this like natural pause where the two of them stop talking and look at me to make some meaningful contribution to the conversation, right? And I didn't think I should say, like, hey, did you try one of these brownies? They're fantastic. You should. Baylor is on point with their brownies. I didn't feel like. So for whatever reason, I'm just trying to connect with this professor's research. I say, oh, that's interesting. We're part of a church in Los Angeles that canceled some medical debt for the poor in Jesus' name. So then he says, takes a second look at me, actually takes his glasses down. And says, wait, you're part of that church? We heard about you all on the news when it first happened. In fact, when we heard about you all, we got the Baylor faculty together and we canceled the medical debt for the poor locally here in Waco. That's amazing, right? Now, listen, I'm not saying this little interchange was the reason we were there. I know that it is not the totality of the reason we were there. It's probably a very microscopic reason. But as we just read, Jesus said, if you keep watching, God will do the works that will amaze you and astonish you. And this little interaction, it amazed me. God amazes me. God was at work, and we participated, and then God took that and used it to be at work in a different, completely different part of the country that we had no, like, connections to, in a way that none of us could have ever known. And Jesus is right. If you have eyes to see and pay attention, you'll be amazed at the work that God does. But I noticed as I walked away that night that God used that little interaction to do work in me as well. It made me be filled with wonder and amazement. And I began the evening by saying, God, show me how you're at work. I concluded the evening with a prayer. God, I wonder what other ways you're at work through our little church that I've never heard about. It encouraged me, and I hope it does you as well. Let me tell you one more. And I want you to see how this can happen in just an everyday, normal way. But it does require prayerfulness and watchfulness. Now, the context of this story is that prior to the pandemic, I used to lead a leadership huddle for CA's pastoral staff and directors of ministry. The whole point of it was to pour into the people who are pouring in to a lot of other people, right? And as that group kind of unfolded, some other local ministry and church pastors and stuff had been relationally connected to me. So it had maybe like 30 of us in this group prior to me shutting it down whenever the initial chaos of the pandemic hit in March, and we were all spinning so many plates that I'm like, we're going to press pause on this little leadership huddle. But at the end of December of this past year, from praying, I sensed that God was inviting me to resume the huddle. So I set the wheels in motion to start it again, and it was scheduled. We meet once a month. Totally unrelated to that, I have a friend ask me to meet a guy who's a new senior pastor who's relocated to Los Angeles from another city to serve another local congregation here in LA. I don't know this guy at all. I've never met this guy. So I just pray, Father, I'm getting a cup of coffee with this guy today. Give me eyes to see what you're doing with this man. We meet, I hear his story, I get to know him a bit. But I enter into the meeting, and I'm listening to him, but I'm listening for God. Do you understand the difference? I'm listening to his words, but I'm listening for what God might be saying that's connected to the prayer. So at the end of the conversation, I just say, well, hey, how can I serve you or help you? And this is what he says. Well, listen, what would really help me is if you knew of some local group of pastors or leaders that meets on a regular basis that I might be able to connect to, because I literally have no networks here. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but even that one I felt like I could see, like, I think God is at work wanting me to extend an invitation. So I'm thinking about the fact that I'm ready to restart this leadership huddle, and I say, look, it's short notice, don't feel obligated, but here's what the leadership huddle is, here's why I do it. And before even I was done speaking, he said, I'm in. Then this week, I have another pastor of another local church, tracks me down on social media. Tom, we don't know each other at all, but I've been watching social media, and for the last 2 months I've been praying, and I think God is saying he wants me to meet with you. So we meet. just getting to know this guy. God, what do you have? And again, invite him to the huddle. Before I'm even done explaining it, I'm in. I'm not out looking for these people. I'm just praying, God, show me where you're at work and where you want me to participate with you. And our little group that was 30 leaders before the pandemic has now grown to 50 leaders right here in Northeast LA that we're gathering, praying, and pouring into one another. You see, if you watch and if you pray, God will show you how he's at work, how he's inviting you to participate with him. One last story, not my story, but it just happened today. My wife says to me, hey, our son has baseball practice. I want to take a book with me to read. Do you have that Experiencing God book? Yeah, I have that book. Can I take it and read it? Sure, you can take it and read it. She's at the park reading the book. There's another woman there who has her young kids. They strike up a conversation. And she said, oh, before I had little kids, I used to get to sit at the park and read. But now, you know, she has little toddlers running around. And the woman says to her, well, what is the name of the book you're reading? My wife says, well, it's a book called Experiencing God. And, oh, who's the author? Oh, well, here, let me show you. Here, this is who the author is. Oh, I love when I see people reading about spiritual things. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with that woman. Maybe she's already ordered the book. Maybe God is already at work. Maybe God has an unfolding story that he's going to write in her life. Look, your stories, my stories, they're going to be different stories because God has created you, positioned you uniquely to make a unique contribution to his kingdom that's different than mine. But the principles of God's word apply to anyone who wants to be a follower of Jesus. God is always at work around us. We must let God do work in us before God does work through us. And then we stay prayerful and watchful and humble. And we begin every day by just saying, Father, I know you're always working. Show me how you're working. Give me eyes to see how you're working and give me the courage to step forward so that I can join you in your work. Let's pray. God is always at work around you. Will you dare to believe Jesus' words? Or maybe believe his words again? Maybe you used to believe them, but now you're like, I kind of feel like I've been in a long season where I don't really see it. God is always at work around you. Will you believe that? Second thing is this. Is there any way that you need to ask God to do work in you? Like the potter in the clay, like the vine in the branches, to mold you so that he can shape you to do the work he also wants to do through you. I've seen in my own life, sometimes God needs to do something in me so that I'm willing and prepared to let him do something through me. Is there anywhere in your life that you just need to say to him, God, mold me? God, my heart's become a little hard in this area. I've become a little closed off in that area. Make me pliable again. Shape me again. Connect me again. Let me abide in your love and your word again to unleash your promises of fruitfulness again. And thirdly, God is inviting you, if you're under the governance of my voice for these moments, it's not by chance, whether you're online or here in person. He's inviting you to be prayerful and watchful this week. Ask him even now and just say, God, would you show me how you're at work around me? Give me eyes to see so that I could join you this week in your work. Just be humble. Just be prayerful. Just be watchful. Apart from him, you can do nothing. With him, anything he wants you to do is possible. Next week, we're going to talk more about how to identify how God is at work around you so that you can know that it is indeed him who is at work around you. Well, I believe there's probably maybe no better taste of God always at work around us than baptisms. And as I mentioned, we have 10 people who are being baptized this weekend. I want to share just briefly, why do we do baptisms and what is it? Baptisms is one of the two commandments, the two sacraments that Jesus commanded that we do. A sacrament is something that's physical that tells the story of the gospel. So one of the sacraments is communion, where you have, you know, the bread and the wine symbolizing his body and blood. The other sacrament is baptism, which is the water, obviously. The water, when you go under the water, it's signifying being buried into the ground, that you're dead in your sin. And when you come up out of the water, that you're being raised to new life with Christ. So it's a physical, tangible way of seeing what the gospel is, that we're dead in our sin, but Christ raises us back up and we are made new. There's a great variety of stories in the way that God is at work. In fact, I always wish on baptism weekends that we had a place that was big enough for our entire congregation to gather in one service so that everybody could hear every story, because I get to hear them all and they're fantastic. So let me give you a little sampling before we bring up the one who will be baptized in this service. One young adult who will be getting baptized this weekend, they found us online on YouTube, gave their life to Christ online, realized that the church they had found online, they live near, showed up in person and is being baptized in person. Amazing to see God at work. Another person, no background in faith, comes across a Bible, picks up the Bible, begins to read it, becomes convicted that their lifestyle that they're perpetually and habitually involved in is sinful. They show up and they say, "Is this a Christian church? Because your sign says Christian Assembly." So I'm thinking, this is a Christian church. Yes, this is a Christian church. So this is how I'm reading the Bible, and I think it's saying that the perpetual actions of my life is sin. And I think what's happening is this like person or God or something called the Holy Spirit is convicting me of sin. Because I read where it says that the Holy Spirit, whoever that is, convicts of sin. So am I reading the Bible correctly? Yes, you're reading the Bible correctly. Great, because then I'm going to leave my lifestyle of sin. Gave his life to Christ. He's getting baptized this weekend. Another person who's getting involved this weekend used to date a witch. Was a Satan worshiper. God began to give him dreams. In the dreams, his feet were burning. He saw the number 666. Didn't know what the number 666 meant. I mean, he'd seen it culturally in some horror movies. In the dream, a shining figure appears to him. "I want you to ask your coworker named so-and-so about me. He will tell you about me." He goes to his coworker. "Hey, have you ever heard of the number 666? And do you know what that number means?" Coworker's like, "We should talk about this after work, because this is going to require..." Open the scriptures. Here's what it means. Here's what's going on. I think maybe God is saying that if you don't change from what you're doing, that you're headed to hell. A couple more months go by. The Holy Spirit convicts him to such a point that he's like, "Okay, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ." He's getting baptized this weekend. One person, just we'll clap at the end for all of them. One person was raised in a Christian home. In their 20s, they walked away from faith. In their words, "I became a prodigal." And now, years later, they're coming back to faith. Prodigals can come home. Prodigals might be part of your story. It doesn't mean it's the end of your story. Some of you who are parents, you need to hear the hope That you're prodigal doesn't mean that they're a prodigal forever. That you can pray that your prodigal would come home. Prodigals do and can and will come home. You need to continue to pray for that to happen. These are just some of the stories of God at work. In this service, we have the awesome privilege of celebrating the baptism of Rebecca Diaz. So I'm going to invite Rebecca, wherever she is, to come on up here. Come on up here, Rebecca. And we're going to hear a little bit of Rebecca's story. Proud of you.
My name is Rebecca. I decided to trust Jesus as my Savior 7 years ago because my life was filled with people who love and follow Jesus.
That's awesome.
And they have influenced me to follow Jesus with all my heart. I know that God is always going to be with me, and He fills my life with joy. Now I'm taking this step of baptism because I want to continue growing in my relationship with Jesus and the new life He offers.
Isn't it amazing to see God at work in Rebecca's life? So we're going to applaud that. Rebecca, I want you to hear that your story is a miracle story. I think sometimes we can think, well, I just grew up in a Christian home. My parents are Christians, and I saw some Christians, and I gave my life to Jesus. But what Jesus says is that if you're giving your life to Jesus, the Father gave you to Jesus. It's a miracle. I see the tears in your eyes. It's a miracle. God has done a miracle in your life, and He's going to keep on doing it because He loves you so much. Rebecca, you can take this little symbolic record of your sins. Colossians tells us that we no longer have our record counted against us because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. You can put that symbolic record up there on the cross, signifying that you are set free of that forever. And you can step on out to the hallway with Matt, and we can applaud it. Yeah. And Rebecca, Matt, whenever Rebecca's ready, you can welcome her to come on down with you. By the way, I want to welcome any family or friends of Rebecca that might be here to celebrate. We're so honored that you're here with us. God is always at work, Rebecca, and He works in us, and then He works through us because of your faith in Jesus Christ. We baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Love it. God is a good, good Father, and He's created you to have a personal, loving, growing relationship with Him. But sin has entered into the world, and each of us freely of our own doing have sinned, and we've become sinners. We've been separated from God. But God doesn't want that to be the end of the story. Sin is anytime you do something that is contrary to the will, the perfect, pleasing, good will of God. It's sin in our attitude. It's sin in our actions. But Jesus Christ has come freely of His own choice, sent by the Father, so that He might give us a clear picture and understanding of the goodness of Father, that He's a good, good Father. That's who He is. He showed us that in His revelation of who the Father is, taught us about how to love the Father, know the Father, and be rightly related to one another, and then went to the cross out of obedience to the Father so that your sin, my sin, could be atoned for, that He took on Himself the penalty and the sin that was due unto us and paid for that in God's eternal justice along with God's eternal love, meeting at the cross, so that you and I can enter into a relationship with God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for because you must believe, first, that He exists, and second, that He rewards those who seek Him. And I don't want to end our time this weekend without giving you an opportunity to say yes, just like Rebecca did and the others who are being baptized, for you to say yes to God. So will you pray with me? God, even now, I pray that You would be at work, that You would draw people to Yourself. Father, that You would give some people to Jesus. Apart from You, we can do nothing. With You, we can do anything You ask. So, Lord, I ask now that You would draw people to Yourself. Maybe for some of you, for the very first time, you need to say yes to Jesus. The Scriptures say that if you hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart. What's God saying to you right now? And you can just say, yes, I want you, Jesus, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of it. I confess it to you. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me right with you. Give me a desire to know your word, to be filled with your Holy Spirit and do your will. I ask you now to be my Lord and Savior. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, gang, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you let me know or one of the other pastors? Your very next step is going to be baptized, and we'd love to celebrate with you, right? So, God, I thank you for you being at work. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed. Great to be with you, gang.